Welcome. This is Strategic Renewal. I'm Doreen Milano, and today we're going to have a riveting conversation. I want to begin with the question many business owners eventually have to face. Am I building a business that depends on me, or am I building an enterprise that can perform beyond me? In the early stages, founders often strive through talent, urgency, relationships, instinct, and personal effort. That may create momentum, but it does not always create durability. At some point, renewal requires a different kind of leadership. The owner must move from doing the work to designing the structure, from carrying the vision alone to translating the vision into systems, capital fluency, operating discipline, and long-term performance. My guest today is Hakeem Dreyer. He's the founder and CEO of Dreyer & Company. He's a strategic advisory firm that helps founders turn practices into enterprises. His work combines executive advisory and leadership development, financial strategy, and applied AI to help business owners gain clarity and strengthen decision-making and build operational discipline around the vision that they're trying to scale. Hakeem, welcome to Strategic Renewal.
Hey, Doreen. It's great to be here. I need to take you everywhere I go because you summed me up better than I ever could.
Well, as we begin today, I want every business owner watching to ask themselves honestly, where is my business? Is it still operating like a practice, even though my vision requires an enterprise level thought process? So today we really want to ask some questions and get some clarity around this process. And it's really a mindset, isn't it?
Oh my goodness, that's an understatement. Yeah, so many people that I work with and that I know you work with as well, Doreen, come to us tired, you know, come to us a little bit disillusioned, come to us wondering whatever happened to that dream that they had about the business that they were going to create. And what is missing often is that mindset shift that you're pointing directly at. You know, they got into it because they were good at something, they knew something, they knew their way around a particular industry, and it was them. Maybe they got some wind in their sails, mm-hmm. and the business grew, and they brought on some people, but in their head, they're still thinking them.
Myself and I, yeah.
Pulled apart by the demands of what is becoming an enterprise and actually being constrained by their thinking.
So let's get some clarity around the distinctions here.
Mm.
So when we talk about a startup or a small business versus an enterprise, what is the differentiation? I mean, they're still businesses, right?
They are businesses. I mean, there's the technical distinction. One is bigger than the other, right?
One's a lot bigger than the other.
One's a lot bigger than the other. But from a mindset and from a management and a leadership standpoint, night and day, right?
Uh-huh.
Night and day. It's normal when you start something. Vision is all here, right? And you got to be the chief chef and the AP person and the accountant and the marketing person. You have to do that because it's just you. Or you and a friend or a couple of friends, all right?
The chief everything officer.
That's right, the chief CEO, the chief everything officer. Accurate. As momentum builds, as obligations expand, the nature of the accountability forms the distinction you're talking about. So in plain words, you can't be the same person.
No.
You are the chief everything officer. You keep doing that, you actually become the bottleneck, right? So what has to begin to shift is how you see yourself and how you are willing to have others see you as well, right? It's almost too simple to say, oh, now you just need to delegate. That's a gross simplification. Now, actually, you need to understand that when it's personal, it's personal. When it's actually about the corporate entity, when it's about the business, It is now about everybody else.
Absolutely.
The people whose payroll you're going to pay. It's about the clients who are going to use your service or product in ways that the world has never seen before. It's about the regulation that you now need to help influence. It's a completely different level of market
Absolutely,
leadership.
yeah. So what are the signs a founder's going to run into that says, I've outgrown how I've been thinking?
What are the signs? Well,
Yeah.
there's one called stress, right?
Well, we don't always recognize that we're in the middle of stress, do we?
No,
Not until it's
no.
too late and something's hit us upside the head.
Yeah,
But
so for those of you watching, Doreen is actually speaking directly to me about this, right? I have intensely personal experience not recognizing when I was actually under stress because I was thinking too small about my business. But yeah, that's definitely one of them. I think you and I are both very performance-oriented people, Doreen,
oh
right?
yeah,
So
absolutely.
performance is another area. If the business is not performing at the level that you know it can, that your gut says it should, or that your plans or aspirations are still waiting on, chances are, your leadership is the bottleneck, right? As an old friend of mine says, the fish stinks at the head, right? So that's
That's a
another
friend.
sign. Another sign is your people, right? In fact, they're usually the first ones, and if what you hear is frustration from your staff, if what you're hearing is complaints from your workers, I think a first step towards a different kind of, leadership at a management level, at an ownership level, at an entrepreneurial level, is not hearing those as complaints, right, or frustrations, but hearing those as clues as to what's missing in the business that would make an enormous difference, right? So someone complaining about it's so hard to do X, Y, and Z. In fact, I had a client, we had a conversation much like this. They're in the medical field, and they were complaining about the number of a particular procedure that had to be done with a piece of equipment. And as we drilled down into what we realized was missing was the scheduling platform that would communicate among all the healthcare practitioners in that entity, right? It wasn't actually that the employee was dissatisfied with their work. In fact, they love their work. In fact, they're so committed to their work that their frustration about not being able to schedule it properly was what they were voicing. But from a leadership standpoint, we had to begin to listen to that very
Differently.
differently.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like those complaints and frustrations are clues as to how we make things better, and we did. So it worked out, and they made more money. So
So when we're talking about listening differently and leading differently, there are things that have to change in the founder's mindset so that the company can operate with a more discipline and more scale. So, what are those things that have to shift in the mindset so that we can introduce discipline and scale?
well, let's take that slowly.
Because it
One of
was a mouthful.
yeah, well, that was and there Doreen, there's 50 years of work in what you just said right there. As like, okay, what are the things that have to change in mindset in order to create a new kind of leadership? I'll take that as the as
Yeah.
what we're delving into here. One, as the leader, you must come to a moment where you understand it's not about you. You have now become the custodian of what's available for everybody else, right? And if your custodianship, right, is in line with your calling and your number one reason for doing things, then you have a solid platform to proceed. So number one is just that. It's like it's not about you. Now, your ego is designed to protect you. Ego's not a bad thing, right? It keeps you from being eaten by bears, and that's always a good thing. But if ego's running the show, your fear is going to have you focused on you and not on everyone else. All right. So this is the first thing. It's not about you. That's going to start to shift your mindset. It's about how you're taking care of people. I don't want to hear 2 days before payroll that we ain't got the money, right? Because now I've got to figure out the downstream impact on all the people who are depending on that paycheck. I don't want to find out that my supply chain is interrupted and now I can't provide all those holiday, all that holiday merchandise because I didn't plan, and I'm afraid I'm all messed up about it. No, it's not about you. It's about who you're delivering for, right? Number two, especially these days, the systems that you are relying on need to work, right? And if you are, from a leadership standpoint, assuming, and we know what happens when you assume that everything works, if you are assuming that people will figure it out and there's no, operating procedures, if the strategies that you're implementing are not actually tied together, like if you talk about lead generation, like it's its own thing and it's just magically going to happen, but there's no actual procedure around it that people can create teamwork with, you're gonna find out the hard way that you should not have assumed, right? So I think number two in terms of a leadership mindset is creating the infrastructure, creating the systems that allow people to work together, right? So that
Yay.
you don't have to create all the, all of it. It's not going to happen, right? Number
So the team,
three.
let's take a quick break. We want to really continue this conversation because it's riveting, and I don't think a lot of people understand the transition in mindset. So part of this conversation is what I'm hearing is that growth is not only about doing more, it's about becoming the kind of leader who can build something more durable than personal effort alone. And so we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Hakeem about financial strategy and capital fluency, which are lockstep with the mindset change, and why founders need to understand the numbers if they're going to actually lead with clarity. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more insights on renewing your focus, your energy, and your path forward. This is Strategic Renewal on Now Media Television. And we are back. I'm Doreen Milano, and you're watching Strategic Renewal on Now Media Television. Let's continue exploring what it means to embrace change and grow with purpose.
Welcome back to Strategic Renewal. Stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS, and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move, catch us a podcast. Go to nowmedia.tv. From business news to lifestyle, culture, and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. So I'm continuing my conversation with Hakeem Dyer, founder of Dyer and Company, and now I want to talk about financial strategy, capital fluency, and the kind of clarity founders need if they want to move from vision to durable performance. Many owners are passionate about what they do, but passion alone does not create financial strength. Renewal requires the founder to understand how money moves through the business, what capital can make possible, and what financial discipline is needed before growth becomes sustainable. Hakeem, this is one of your specialties, I know.
Yeah, it's kind of my thing.
It's your thing. So when founders lack the capital fluency, which is part of the mindset conversation we were having before, how does that show up in the way they make their decisions?
Yeah, I'm so glad that you honed right in on it, because this was my big number three. It's like, yeah, most people are afraid of money. And most
Boy, isn't that the
people,
truth?
yeah, it's like, no. And a lot of people don't like numbers. So when you want to use numbers to talk about money, it's like, and then you use a word like finance and people freak out. It's like, okay,
Oh no, they
calm
run the
down.
other direction. They don't just freak out.
Absolutely. Okay. They're gone, right?
They're gone.
So I'm gonna take a hot second to talk about capital fluency. That is a cornerstone of my work and my business. Truth be told, I am a reformed banker. I was one of those guys, who would, say, no, you can't have the loan. That was me, right? But I got trained back in a time where we spent a lot of time working with small businesses and middle-sized businesses and understood the challenges that a family and an entrepreneur and the humans and the communities faced. Before I was a banker, I was in the world of teaching language. And so for me, it was always a process of becoming fluent in the language of business, which is finance and capital. Now, I don't ever want to see somebody who does a presentation and the last thing they talk about is the numbers, right? No, actually, what I want is that fluency to be present all the time, okay? Because if you're looking at your marketing or your personnel or your payroll, or that new building you want to lease or buy, you don't know, or the new piece of equipment or a fleet of trucks, whatever it is, if you have the financial language, if you have capital fluency, then you're going to be able to look like you have X-ray vision through all of the concerns that are presented in that opportunity. In other words, you don't look
Absolutely.
like you don't look at a group of, trucks as the same thing when you are seeing it as what I call capital. Capital is not the money, okay? Capital is the relationships around the money, okay? And those relationships relate to the assets. It's straight accounting, assets, liability, equity. If the relationship is with a bank, well, the bank's very interested in your assets. And if
But they
it's
get to make money off of the assets.
oh, they make money on the assets, absolutely. But they will also take the assets if you don't pay them, right? So they're
That's
very
right.
interested in the assets, right? If it's an investor, right? Well, they're also interested in the assets, but they're not interested in making a long-term investment for your short-term need, right?
No.
They want to make a long-term investment for the long-term asset, that building, that intellectual property, that brand, whatever it is, that's what they're interested in. So when you begin to understand that the liability, the loan, or the equity, the investment, all relate to the assets, and that it's not just a horizontal relationship, but a vertical relationship, because you better be sure the banker knows how much equity you have. In fact, they're going to measure it with their covenants and ratios, okay? And you better be sure the equity investor understands that you've got some debt, all right? And it's the movement of all these things that have you look at things like earnings, like how much money did we make? Let me get really interested in my profit margin. Let me understand the difference between that and my markup, right? That's all tied into the same language. When you're speaking that language, now you've got different questions, okay? So that's capital fluency. What we often find is that that tired entrepreneur who has not adequately built the systems and and worked with the strategies is unable to leverage, in other words, to build upon their own effort with teamwork because they're capital illiterate.
Well, one of the things that I instituted in a lot of the companies that I've worked with is that a great idea, no matter what it is, has to have an ROI attached to it. And if the ROI is large enough, then it's something that we can work on quickly versus an ROI that is a really low ROI that goes on the back burner. Because if what we're doing is we're building equity, the more profitability that we can bring to the bottom line, the more equity we actually build.
That's right. And once you understand in a capital fluency standpoint, the best way to build equity, right, is earnings.
Yes.
It's literally in the accounting formula. It's like, so what, for all you accounting nerds out there, how do you contribute to retained earnings? by earning. It's like, okay, yeah. no earnings, nothing to retain. All right. In other words, when you have a bottom line, okay, you can build wealth, right? It sounds obvious, but people go to work every day and they're not thinking this way. All right. No. So now you want to get really interested in not just the bottom line, but like, well, what was my top line? Mm-hmm. Oh, you didn't have a top line. It's like, well, what do we mean by top line? Sales, people, revenue. Well, now, if I'm looking at sales and revenue with a financial eye, I get really interested. Look, how do I not just make more in terms of the top line, more sales, but how do I keep more of it at the bottom?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so I'm doing that. I'm building my equity, which means the proportion of my debt is going down, which means the value of my company is going up, which means when I'm talking about enterprise value, right, I'm looking at some multiple of those earnings, which now actually land on a radar someplace. It's all connected, right? So many times I talk to entrepreneurs, their main goal is surviving. You're like, if you're just surviving, then you are not in the conversation about increasing the value of the enterprise, okay? You're just trying to survive, all right? So we need to get you out of survival, right, and on a path to thriving so that you actually are using the opportunities in the business to build wealth for everybody.
So what are the numbers that founders need to really understand to make major growth decisions?
If I had to have, you know, Hakeem's quick kit of important KPIs, you know,
yeah,
we'll do the simple ones. Number one, sales growth. Like, you know, and that's not just a number that you measure after the fact. No, I actually want you to project it.
Mm-hmm.
By how much are your sales going to grow this year, this quarter, this week, you know, because that gets very quickly, if you are the person leading the organization, to what am I going to do today to make that happen? All right. It's not esoteric. It's not some pie in the sky idea. So, no, you need to take specific actions, you know, and with a lot of our clients, you know, this, Doreen, it's like, how many calls am I going to make? And not just, hey, how are you? But like asking for the order,
right?
You know, like actually, you know, meaty business calls. Are you that guy or gal who people, when they show up, they know, hey, they're fair, but they don't play. Okay. That's all tied up in how you project that sales number. And what's that ratio? Is it 10%? Is it 50%? Is it 200%? I don't know. Give me a number, right? After that, it's whatever level of profitability you want to measure. And it's so funny, a lot of people don't know. Your revenue minus your expenses, that's one thing. But revenue minus different kinds of expenses always gives you a different margin, gives you a different profit, right? So sales minus what it costs you to make the sales, oh, that's a different number than sales minus all my expenses. All right. Mm-hmm. But if you start with just those two, you know, translated gross profit and net profit, you're already ahead of most people. So sales growth, gross profit, net profit. After that, I would very strongly encourage people to think about a basic leverage and a basic liquidity ratio, which is all finance speak for very plain things like how much debt do I have? Right. And mm-hmm. how much equity do I have, right? And the ratio of one to the other is what every banker looks at first, right? But it's important for an entrepreneur, because if you have a ratio of less than 1:1, you're probably in good shape. In other words, you got more equity than you have debts. That's good. Okay, what if it's 1:1? Well, I've got as much debt as I have equity. Equity meaning what I own in the company. Well, what if you had 2:1? Oh, I've got twice as much debt as ownership? I kind of want to know that. And I want to know what affects that. Like if I'm in a business where the value of my assets goes up and down, well, the proportion of my debt and equity is changing too, right? So that's why the liquidity side is important. So what is the ratio of all my assets, right?
So one of the things I bring to bear here for business owners, and we only have a minute left, so I'm going to do this really quickly. You look at your financial statement every month. Look at your cash flow every month. Look at your equity every month. And look at your total debt every month.
Amen.
And those four things will help you manage your business better.
Absolutely.
So it becomes clear that financial clarity is not about protecting the business, it's about empowering the owner. And when we start empowering owners, they start to understand the numbers, they make better decisions. They can't be afraid of the numbers that are helping them grow their business. Communicate with more confidence is what happens. Their ability to communicate is based on their knowledge of the numbers. We're going to take a short break, and when we return, we'll move into operating discipline, applied AI, and how technology can support growth when connected to strategy. I'm so interested in this one. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more insights on renewing your focus, your energy, and your path forward. This is Strategic Renewal on Now Media Television. And we are back. I'm Doreen Milano, and you're watching Strategic Renewal on Now Media Television. Let's continue exploring what it means to embrace change and grow with purpose.
Welcome back to Strategic Renewal. And if you are a founder looking at AI automation or new technology and wondering what actually is useful as part of the conversation to lean into, the goal is not to chase tools. The goal is to build smarter operating systems for the business. So I'm here with Hakeem Dyer, and now I want to connect two powerful operating ideas, discipline and applied AI. Every founder is hearing about AI, but the real question is not whether AI is exciting. The question is whether it solves the right problem, strengthens the operating model, and improves the decision-making and supports the enterprise the owner is trying to build. So Hakeem, when founders talk about using AI in their business, what should they understand before they start adding tools?
Long pause ensues. You think AI, I go, I, that's right, AI, I. It's like, okay, it's a lot. One, I believe strongly that founders need to understand this is new. That's thing one. We're in a new phase. There's a lot of shiny nickel moments here. A lot of people going like, oh my God, it does this now. It's like, okay, just calm down. All right. Like any new technology, it's going to take a moment before we settle into how, as a society, let alone as business people, we're going to adapt to what's possible. Right. So that's thing one. I'm not interested in jumping or having my clients jump at everything. Right. Number two. AI is extremely good at doing repetitive tasks. It needs to be watched, but you know, there was a time where the only way we could plow a field was with an ox and a plow and being behind the ox in the sun all day, right?
Yeah.
Literally have robot tractors tilling soil right now, operated by GPS from, so, you know, the nature of our relationship to labor has been changing for a long time. This is simply the latest installment, right? When you look at it with, I think, mature eyes this way, then you begin to ask questions about how do I use it? And I start with, you've got to bring critical thinking, right? One, because it's new. Two, because this is an ongoing development, mostly, especially in business, and especially with an eye to the financing side, like we were just talking about, because financial thinking is critical thinking, all right? Mm-hmm. We like facts. We like accountability. That's why we call it accounting, right? We're not going to simply push a button and expect that the AI is going to give us the answer. No. What it will do is be a thought partner with us. It will gather information faster than we possibly could. It can take repetitive actions or review massive documentation very quickly. So, if you will, I can offer some things that I've done and that my clients are doing with AI that is helpful.
Absolutely. I think that would be great. But also, I think we need to talk about how our personal bias shows up in the AI.
Well, you've had some experience with that.
Oh,
You know, I think, like any man-made system, because it's, made by humans, it has human bias in it. All
yes.
right. So there will be methodologies, there will be, there'll be social dimensions, that it misses or doesn't understand. All right. And I'm okay with that because it's yet more space for critical thinking. All right. To me, if you use AI the right way, it will get you to the human interaction faster. All right. What do I mean by that? High level example, as a chief financial officer, I have had to work with incredible amounts of information. Okay. Why? Well, because I'm going to have to facilitate a choice. I'm going to have to help a CEO make a choice about, do we move the company? Do we buy that equipment? Do we, build those servers? And do I lay these people off? And those are decisions that affect the quality of life and the quality of work, right? That's the human part. Now, if it takes me 5 months to go through the information to get to that conclusion, that's 5 months of people dealing with what might be a bad situation. 5 months of waiting, 5 months of limbo. Very difficult. If I'm smart on my use of AI, all right, then I will use it to accelerate my decision making, not make the decision for me. No, I'm in charge of the critical thinking. I just can get through all of the accounts and all the reviews and the market research faster, right? I think that's a good way to use it. So specific examples, filing. I learned as a junior bank officer that I was basically no good to the rest of the bank if I couldn't find stuff when it was needed, right? It's like, where's that security agreement? Did we file a lien? Where's that airplane? Let's go take it as collateral. I mean, all that kind of stuff. If I could turn it around speedy pronto, then it was immediately actionable information, right? AI can be used to make our information immediately actionable. All right. Literally worked with a client to write a protocol that allows us to scan documents into a folder on a hard drive. The AI automatically reads it, labels it with a date protocol, and files it in the appropriate file, and then gives us a chronological report of all of the evolution of each account, that each one of those things that was filed was,
Amazing.
it's like it takes like 15 minutes. Zip, 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 done. All right. Now that would take, I don't know, 3 days for someone to sit through, read, so an old-fashioned cron file becomes minutes of work. Loan digests or any legal digest, something they used to give in my world to junior officers in the finance department. In other words, here's this big thick legal document. Tell us what it says because we're not going to read it. It's like, okay. And you'd sit there and translate into plain English all the legalese. You can do that in minutes today.
Well, I know that right now I use my AI to fight with me. Giving me opposing perspectives, give me opposing views so that I can break out of my own personal thought patterns and look at things from a new and fresh perspective.
Now, all of that is facilitating the critical thinking, right? That's
Yes.
you in the trench thinking, what about this? What about that? I hadn't thought about this. And quickly having access to the information. That's exciting, all right? That is not, I asked for the thing and, I pressed the button and the magic genie came out and gave me the, no,
Gave
that's
me the answer.
no critical
No.
thinking there. You're going to get into trouble. It's kind of like the old days when we first had spreadsheets, right? And when we first got spreadsheets, what became very clear was you'd give your assignment to a junior person, then go off and build this massive spreadsheet so that you could do the acquisition of a company. And they're a junior person, they have no idea how to buy a company. So you'd get a spreadsheet back and it would look great, but somewhere around page 40, there was this little formula error that nobody knew about. It's like, yeah, this is the same thing. You still got to check it. You got to do the critical thinking.
You got to do the due diligence on whatever technology that you're using.
Absolutely. Research, another great place, you know, to use AI. Like, let's research the regulations. Let's research some filings. Let's go and pull in disparate information. Translation. And it's possible now for a medium-sized business to do, you know, work overseas, because you can literally translate your voice, your documents, and your website in ways that it took an entire, you know, translation department before in a large corporation. You can actually be a medium-sized corporation and understand overseas regulation, you know, trade law, and converse with people that you were not able to converse with before.
That's amazing.
Yeah. You know, but you got to use the human part. If it's just the machine, you miss the point.
So we only have a little bit of time left. The thing that I'm really curious about is, as a leader, how do we introduce AI as part of the tools for the workforce? Because if we have to focus on critical thinking and leadership,
mm-hmm.
how do we translate that for the workforce?
I mean, in 20 or 30 seconds, I would say we need to take small bites, test, mm-hmm. and train. If we take small bites, test, and train, then we can bring everybody along in the process, not just dump it on people.
And I think that's important. I think we really have to look at how can this make my job as a processor easier? Mm-hmm. And what is the thing that I need to focus on? And that takes small chunks, testing every single step of the way, and making sure that what we're building is duplicatable and repeatable.
Right.
For the individual to actually get benefit out of it.
Agreed. Agreed.
Right?
Well said.
So we're really looking at AI, and I really appreciate this reminder that AI is not a substitute for leadership, number one. Number two, that it's only powerful when it's connected to clear strategy, clean process, and disciplined execution. Not just execution, disciplined execution. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll close by talking about durable performance and how founders build companies that can last, adapt, and keep growing beyond the energy of the founder alone. So we'll be back in a moment.
We'll be right back with more insights on renewing your focus, your energy, and your path forward. This is Strategic Renewal on Now Media Television. And we are back. I'm Doreen Milano, and you're watching Strategic Renewal on Now Media Television. Let's continue exploring what it means to embrace change and grow with purpose.
Stay connected to Strategic Renewal and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming like in English or Spanish. On the move, catch a podcast version at www.nowmedia.tv. From business, news, lifestyle, culture, and beyond, NowMedia TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. I'm closing this conversation with Hakeem Dreyer, and I want to bring everything together. Founder clarity, leadership development, financial strategy, applied AI, operating discipline, and durable performance. The goal of Strategic Renewal is not just growth, for the sake of growth. It's the growth that can hold, growth that is aligned, growth that does not collapse under the weight of the founder's consistent movement. So Hakeem, let me just ask you really quickly, what does durable performance mean to you when you were advising founders and business owners?
It means you've created something that has a life that serves generations. And that's bigger than today is bigger than tomorrow. It is cosmic. It is epic. Look, there is a company that we all know about and some of us relate to that is literally called American Telephone and Telegraph.
Yes, I know that company well.
Yeah, I mean, Telegraph. Okay, they don't do that part anymore, but that's kind of where the origins were, right? You know, Wells Fargo ran stagecoaches.
Yep.
Okay, it's like, yeah. So this idea of a durable company is not fiction, right? No. You gotta ask yourself, so what do these companies do that lasted so long? And you know, what you see is that they're committed somewhere to much higher ideals and objectives than just next quarter, right? Yes. They're not just trying to sell the company, you know, they're actually doing things that allow the breadth to pivot. You know, as some business school professors that I've worked with point out, if the railroads had been equally flexible, then, you know, we would be, you know, flying Santa Fe Airlines, right?
This is true.
But
this is true.
They did not pivot, right? So there are examples of big businesses, huge industries that were not nimble, right?
No.
The people that we work with, I think, our access to creating that kind of a legacy, if they're interested at any scale, by the way, you don't have to be a big corporation to be durable, right?
No.
Is, well, what's your number one goal? If you're serving anything but what you're called into this life to, you know, do, then you're kind of wasting your time, right? You're coping. And there's no space in the life of an entrepreneur for coping, right?
Yes. But I'd like to give some valuable feedback for entrepreneurs right now.
Sure.
And that is this piece that I think most entrepreneurs, it keeps them up at night. Mm-hmm. So what tends to break first when a founder tries to scale without the right operating discipline?
Oh, yeah.
How do you know that it's not working now?
Well, I mean, we've kind of come full circle. You know it's not working because they're stressed. Mm-hmm. They don't have enough and they have any time freedom. They can't keep good staff. Their competition is whacking them in the pants. Things are not going well. Right? It doesn't mean that the mission and the vision was off.
No. You know,
it probably means they haven't got themselves out of the way. They're trying to do it all. And there aren't actually systems, as you're pointing to, in place adequate enough to support everyone else taking on their piece of that vision. You know, as an entrepreneur, you can, as a business owner, you have to remain accountable to the vision. Okay? That's where that number one goal comes in.
Yeah.
However, you have to make others responsible for parts of the execution. Right? And there's a difference between accountability and responsibility. Okay?
Absolutely.
And that leads me to my next question. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What should founders stop tolerating if they want to build business that performs beyond them?
They have to stop tolerating their own ego. The longer you think you're going to do it all, because you're afraid to let go, you're afraid to have a partner, you're afraid someone else is going to mess up your thing, the longer you are limiting your own business to a very small, tightly wound, difficult, stress-inducing, ulcer-creating, you know, heart attack-having life, right? The sooner you let go, you know, the sooner you share the vision, the sooner you can imbue others with the responsibility for their piece of that vision. Because look, you're a human entrepreneur. You're a flesh and blood human, right? And I'm so sorry to break it to you, but you're not the first person to think of what you thought of, right? There are other people. Maybe they're not the one who's going to be the tip of the spear like you are, right? But there's other people who would love to be right behind you taking a piece of that. Give them the systems. Give them the protocol with which they can have discipline to move the whole thing forward. And then you can go home at night and sleep well.
And this is an enterprise shift for the business owner when they start that process,
Absolutely.
When they start thinking this way.
Absolutely.
This is the major mindset shift.
That's right. You're going to wake up and think, who's going to do this today? You know, not, oh my God, I've got to. No, no, nope. It's what conversation do I need to have in order to empower someone else to take this piece or that piece of the vision? And it's not my vision at that point, it's the vision.
And that is an optimal point. When it's the company's vision, when it's the company culture that is surrounding that vision and mm-hmm. moving that vision forward,
that's right.
Everything shifts.
That's right.
So Hakeem, if the audience wants to have more information about you, Dyer Company, how can they connect with you? What's the easiest way for them to find you?
I mean, the easiest way is simply go to dyerco.us. That's dyerco.us. You'll see this website, and there's a link there where you can reach out and connect with us. That's probably the easiest, smoothest way. You can also find me on LinkedIn. Just look up Hakeem Dyer. I think I'm the only one in the world. So I'm not hard to find that way. And of course, you can tune in here. I hope maybe I get to come back someday.
Absolutely. I'd love to have you come back. So Hakeem, I really want to thank you for joining us and sharing with us your insights. The key elements about leadership and being a founder and the financial fluency and the financial strategies, how we get to work with AI in these different arenas within our business, all comes together to enable us to have better operating discipline. And you're at the core of that. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Dorian. I really appreciate it.
So what this conversation reminds me of is that strategic renewal is not about abandoning the founder's vision. It's about building the structure, discipline, and clarity that allow that vision to become durable. And to everyone watching, we invite you to look honestly at your business. This is still dependent on your constant, consistent effort, or is becoming an enterprise what you really want to grow into? You still need clarity, you need strength, and you need direction. Stay connected to more on Now Media TV. Thank you for watching.